Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food, culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. With my Below the Mason-Dixon charm, I spotlight the culture of the food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking the official bird of North Carolina, the cardinal. If you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, we have a live call-in number, folks. Give us a buzz. Our number here in the studio is 718-497-2128. What better way to talk North Carolina food than in March, a.k.a. Basketball Madness?
Yes, ma'am.
In the studio, the person behind the Cardinal, New York City's East Village restaurant, is Curtis Brown. Curtis, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you.
So, Curtis, the Cardinal, for folks who are like, what the hell is she talking about? The Cardinal and March basketball. Don't you, when you think of North Carolina, you think of like college basketball?
Yeah. Yeah. Carolina, Duke, State. Yeah.
It's UNC?
USC?
UNC, that's Carolina.
UNC, Carolina, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's what they call it for sure. Okay, yeah, okay. As you can tell, I have no clue. And the Cardinal is the official bird of North Kakalaki.
State bird.
I want to talk music.
Yes, ma'am.
So we've gotten that out of the way, so folks who are trying to, you know, make the correlation between the Cardinal and March Madness. I want to talk music. South by Southwest was last week. Did you go?
No. Had to work.
You had to work. Yeah, of course you had to work. You have a restaurant to run. But I know that you're in a band. Are you in a band, right?
I'm not in a band. I was in a band. Yeah.
Okay, so you're a music head without a doubt.
I like music, yeah.
So have you gone to South by Southwest before?
Many, many times, yeah.
So what do you think? What do you think of South by Southwest 2012? Do you think it's too commercialized or what's the deal?
Well, I don't know because I didn't go, but...
But I'm sure you have an inkling.
I think everyone's doing, you know, it's the same thing. Kids are down there and people are trying to play shows and, you know, have fun, see their friends. It's a good thing for bands that travel a lot because everyone's there. So you see your friend's band from Cincinnati or your buddy's band from Portland or whatever, you know, and everyone's down there for a few days. So it's pretty good. I think now bands play like 5, 6, 7 shows while they're there. When I was there, going there a lot, you only played like one show or maybe two if you had a party or something. But from what I understand, it's good times. Everybody's having a blast. Eat barbecue, get drunk, you know.
Exactly. The food is like the backdrop to, you know, South by Southwest and being in Austin. Speaking of food and music, you know, I visited the Cardinal, and I will tell you, the first thing beyond the food is the damn music. Your music was hot, yo.
Thank you.
So what is how do you pick your playlist? What are some of your favorite things or people to listen to when you're, you know, making it happen?
Well, we have an open kitchen, so I like to play stuff that I can work to, you know, because I can hear it. That's what I hear while I'm working. So, you know, I like Wu-Tang and hip-hop to work to, but also, you know, girl groups, punk rock, whatever.
What girl groups do you like? Girl power.
Well, you know, like 60s girls, okay, the chiffons and stuff like that.
So what do you like that's out now?
I like this band Ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
They're cool.
What kind of music is it?
I guess it's sort of a hardcore band. There's this band Trash Talk that I like. I don't know. There's not a ton of stuff that I listen to. I'm busy. I don't get to check
out. So are you playing these two, you know, Trash Talk and the one that you just mentioned before, are you playing these in the restaurant?
Not so much.
Yeah, you were playing like retro stuff. I heard some old hip hop. It was
Well, I love the Fat Boys, you know.
Oh my gosh, hell no, the Fat Boys.
Yeah, the Fat Boys. So that's a good one.
So we are going to take a break, folks. We are talking with Curtis Brown, the person behind the Cardinal, East Village's own Cardinal. Keep listening to Heart Grease. We'll be back in a sec. Dance with me, baby. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We are talking North Carolina with actually North Carolina native Curtis Brown. So Curtis, we have to get into North Carolina, like the food icons of North Carolina. So I was doing my research and I'm like, oh, damn, this thing is connected to North Carolina like Texas Pete.
Yes, ma'am. Winston-Salem.
Get out.
That's it. It's been in my refrigerator since I was 2 years old, you know, so I still use it on everything.
So is the factory is in Winston-Salem or?
Yes, ma'am.
So what's up? Do you know the origin of the name Texas Pete? Because I think most people probably think Texas.
I have no idea. I'll just be honest with you. I wish I did.
Is that your favorite hot sauce?
You know what? I think it is. Yeah, I think Texas Pete is my favorite hot sauce. I like Louisiana hot sauce, too, but Texas Pete's great Texas with everything. Texas
Pete. So, what else, I think? Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme donuts.
And is Krispy Kreme, did it start in Winston-Salem?
I don't know where they're from, but they're all over from the east all the way to... I grew up in Asheville in the west part of the state, but they're everywhere. When they got the hot donut sign on, you know, you got to pull over and get one.
Yeah, that's like my first... I've evolved now. I still will eat a Krispy Kreme donut, but I will have to say it's too damn sweet. But growing up, didn't you just love to see the hot donut sign
hot
on?
Hot donuts, yeah.
And so you're from Asheville. So when I think North Carolina and I think Asheville, poo, people who are listening, what are they probably thinking?
Hippies?
No. The resort that's in Asheville.
Oh, Grove Park Inn?
Ding, 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 ding.
I don't think people think of that, do
you? You don't think so?
No, it's like for rich people. I don't think normal people think of that.
Well, so what do you think? What's the iconic food or thing, Asheville?
Well, Asheville, the whole thing was like meat and two vegetables. That's like when you went out to eat with your family or whatever, it was, you know, fried pork chops and two vegetables or fish and two vegetables and like a lunch counter kind of situation where... You know, you walk in and what do you got? And they got like four meats and a bunch of sides. And so that's what I think of when I think of eating when I was a kid.
So would you say Asheville is more like a working class town or?
Well, it certainly was when I was growing up. It's changed. A lot of people have moved there from the north. And
from the north.
Yeah. So it's very, you know, it's lovely there. So they've got a lot of tourism and.
I feel like, what is it? Tupelo Honey Cafe is in Asheville?
It is. Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of the upscale dining. What else is, like, new that...
There's a place there. I haven't been there in a couple years, but there's a place there called The Admiral that's mind-blowingly good. Fantastic. One of the best restaurants I've eaten out anywhere. And, you know, the local and farm-to-table stuff, and it's fantastic. Yeah.
So, North Carolina, without a doubt, hands down. I think people think about the barbecue.
Yes, ma'am.
The barbecue. So, what... is distinctive North Carolina barbecue, Curtis. Let's break all the myths.
Well, even within North Carolina, we have like regional differences between Western North Carolina barbecue and Eastern Carolina barbecue. Eastern Carolina barbecue being very, very heavily vinegar. It's smoked the same as, you know, it's a pork butt smoked until it's 175, 180 degrees, same as any other barbecue. But then it's just covered in apple cider vinegar, brown sugar, and red pepper flake. This is Eastern North Carolina.
Eastern.
And chopped.
So Eastern would be Asheville area.
That's Western.
Okay.
Eastern would be like Lexington and Greenville and like, you know, closer to the beach.
Gotcha.
And then in the West, where I grew up, when you go to a barbecue place, it's almost like going to a place in Texas. You know, it's tomato-based barbecue sauce and ribs and brisket and pulled pork, you know.
So what are your go-to places in North Carolina when you're trying to get inspiration or you like, I want some North Carolina Q? Where do you go?
Well, there's a place in Asheville called 12 Bones. It's fantastic. It's hard to eat there, though, because they close whenever they run out. So sometimes they'll just be closed at like noon, you mm-hmm. know, because they ran out in an hour and a half or whatever. But I like to eat there. And Chapel Hill has a couple places. And Mama Dips does a barbecue it's not even smoked, but it's like a comfort food for me. You know, it's like a oven kind of barbecue, but it's fantastic. Yeah. But I mean, mostly, you know, as far as barbecue in the West goes, it's not a huge part of our food.
So what other foods actually, or edibles, would you consider iconic North Carolina things?
Creasy greens, something that grows in North Carolina.
What exactly is that?
It's they grow right now, like early spring, and they're a wild green, and you forage for them, and I guess...
Is that like poke salad?
It's a little more tender than poke.
Okay.
But poke is a great example.
Yeah, I grew up seeing people getting poke out of the yard, yeah, and fixing poke.
Yeah. Yeah, I love poke salad. But poke berries, delicious.
Yeah.
But creasy greens, poke salad, those are very North Carolina things. Pickled peaches is a big thing, you know, when you get a bushel of peaches and pickle off half of them, that's a big thing. Green beans cooked for a long time is a big thing that reminds me of home. Beans, any bean cooked for a long time until they're dead, you know. Cooked
so you're basically saying southern. I've never definitely heard of the creasy greens thing. That definitely must be a North Carolina thing.
Yeah, we gotta, they're in the mountains, so they don't even have them in the East.
Cool. So we're going to take a quick break and come back. We're going to get into the menu at the Cardinal here in New York City. Listeners, keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
Just met you just the other day. Everything started flowing my way. I just love you. Really, I just love you for yourself. I don't want nobody.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. If you know anything about Southern fare, chicken and barbecue are the main course, but the sides, I think, make the meal. The Cardinal is kick-ass with both, and Curtis Brown of the Cardinal is going to give us the skinny on his menu. So, Curtis, you know, when I came to the Cardinal, I had the sides, and I was impressed with the sides and the specials that you actually do, which are usually side dishes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, tell me, like, last week, what did you have as special sides and your sides?
Last week, we have, because cauliflower is good right now, so we have cauliflower with breadcrumbs, James Beard recipe right out of the book. Candy carrots. We're doing these watermelon and lime radishes in drawn butter
mm-hmm.
with a little bit of lemon. It's delicious. What the hell else we got going right now?
Your normal size, you have, what I love is that you have peas. I can't really find a lot of beans and peas that are good. And you keep like peas and beans.
Yeah, I like to do peas and carrots and peas and potatoes. It's just my grandma, you know, those are things that I grew up eating. I love, you know, just fresh English peas, you know, and anything you get from the market, whatever's there this week, you know, we'll put on the menu.
Speaking of market and you know, kind of connecting with your farmers. You use pork, or you from Heritage Foods USA, right?
Sometimes, most of the times, because of their delivery schedule, I sometimes don't. And lately, I've been getting everything from Autumn and Ellie, which is a, but it's all local and
yeah,
from upstate, you know.
So tell me about the meats that you have, because you have two different type of barbecues that you're serving at the Cardinal, right?
Yeah, well, we have ribs, we have brisket, we have pulled pork, and we have hot links, which are a Texas, you know, a sausage that we make.
So what style are you doing the barbecue? Is it the east to west, or is it?
It's, you know, honestly, I've eaten a lot of barbecue around the country, and I've just sort of taken from wherever the things I liked. And, you know, I like the brisket kind of from Kansas City. I like that style of burnt ends, you know, and
yeah,
really fatty, juicy barbecue brisket. And the ribs, you know, I don't think you can really do it better than they do it in Texas with a nice dry rub. So I'm doing it like that. And the pork is very much North Carolina with the vinegar. And the hot links, again, are very Texas-y.
Oh, now how do we forget this? You also have fried chicken.
Yes, ma'am.
Fried chicken.
Fried chicken, fried catfish, fried pork chops.
And biscuits.
And biscuits with lard.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you were using lard in your biscuits.
Yeah, we make our own lard and we make, put it in the biscuits.
So you're rendering your own fat.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Curtis, this is what I find very fascinating about your spot. So you look at the menu and it's a lot of food when you get a meat. I'm like, damn, you have to really go with a gang of folks. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it lends itself to people that want to eat. That's for sure.
Yeah, you're not just getting like two bones with a little meat on it. It's a lot of stuff.
No, you get fed.
Yeah, so people need to come with like, what, four folks?
That's good. Bring 10, 12, 20.
You know what else I find very interesting about your meat? Not interesting. I think it's super cool is your sodas.
Yeah. Well, we got cheer wine from North Carolina. I just wanted to have all cane sugar sodas, so we use, you know.
You got to break the cherry wine thing down for folks.
It's a North Carolina soda that it was hardly ever available anywhere else, but it seems like people are catching on to it. It's like a cherry Coke sort of Dr. Peppery kind of thing, but very much North Carolina.
Yeah, you can't, you know, actually the place that I go to here, and I actually live in Brooklyn. I know you live in Manhattan. I go to Court Street Grocers because they have cherry wine, Mount Spring Valley water. But I don't know anywhere else really where you can, definitely I don't know any other restaurant that has cherry wine on in the bottle. And you have New Grape, I think.
New Grape, yeah. Nesbitt Orange. If we could get Sundrop, I'd get it. I've been trying to get a hold of
that. Sundrop is in the little small,
yeah, little mini bottles. Yeah.
Mini bottles. And how do people react? Do people come in there and they're very nostalgic, or folks are like, what exactly is cherry wine?
Well, we got a big North Carolina flag on the wall, and like I said, you know, you come to our place and you get the green beans, and it's not, you know, green beans tossed in some olive oil. You know, it is like green beans that have been cooked for 3 hours in fatback, you know, so it's like very much Southern food. And I think folks that, you know, a lot of people come that are from the South, and those are, yeah, sodas that they like and haven't been around. You know, and yeah, they order them. They buy six of them and take them home, you know.
Oh, really? And yeah, you know what's good about I'm not a soda drinker, but every now and then I will indulge. But it's not like you're getting like cane sugar.
Yeah.
And most of the sodas.
And all the sodas that we sell, it's cane sugar instead of refined sugar, yeah.
Your desserts.
Yes, ma'am.
Your desserts. I didn't have a dessert when I was there, but I saw the menu. What do you usually have? What's the popular thing?
I guess the pecan pie is the most popular thing. And it's our food runner, actually, his girlfriend, who lives upstairs from the restaurant, is a baker.
Oh,
and she
cool.
bakes the pies. Yeah, and she's amazing. I mean, they're fantastic. And all of them, again, have lard in the crust. And, I mean, they're fantastic. She makes a Jefferson Davis pie. That's very popular.
What's a Jefferson Davis pie?
It's like a cream pie that has a meringue or a whipped cream topping. It's delicious. It's like a custardy kind of pie.
Mm-hmm.
And a butterscotch pie. We have carrot cake and other cakes. And banana pudding, of course, and then when the peaches are good, we'll have pickled peaches and ice cream.
So, Curtis, I have to ask you, do you think, I would have to say I have gone to probably every restaurant, definitely every new restaurant that's popped up that is Southern themed, because I'm always like searching, it's like a drug. I'm searching for something like home. You think you got the best thing in New York City?
Well, I mean, I think that we do what we do pretty well. I think that people will be happy if they come down and eat. But I think a lot of people are making good food in New York. And we're, and we're lucky for that.
No, right? Wait a minute. Good Southern food.
Well, I think people are making good Southern food. I'm not going to call anybody out.
I will say that I definitely felt, I wouldn't have you on the show if I didn't feel like you weren't the real deal. But without a doubt, I did feel I had the Southern vibe. And I'm going to tell you something else that gave me the Southern vibe. So when you want to give me a gift, you have a bird that's hanging up.
Yeah.
A stuffed.
A wild turkey.
Yeah. Wild turkey. So after I left there, I like obsessed over the wild turkey and like went on Etsy and like eBay trying to find, you know, taxidermy and get that turkey. So whenever you want to, you know, switch out the decor.
Oh, okay.
Let me have that turkey. All right. And I talked to, I think that's your business partner who runs the front of the house there.
Yeah.
I was like, where'd you get the turkey? And she was telling me how, was it you? You found it like the 2 days before y'all opened?
Yeah. We just found it at a thrift store. We're lucky. It's a beauty. We like it.
Yeah. So, you know, when you want to give that up.
All right.
I'll take it. We're going to take a short break and come back with the Hot Five, Curtis Brown's edition of the Hot Five. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
Ran into an old friend yesterday. Caught me by surprise when he called my name. He was a familiar face from a chapter in my past. Talk for a while, like some hours.
The following program was sponsored by S. Wallace Edwards and Sons. Summertime is not the only time when barbecue is welcome. At S. Wallace Edwards and Sons, Sam Edwards has been working his magic on ribs, briskets, pit-cooked pulled pork, and much, much more. Add a few of their sides, and the party is complete. Entertaining has never been so easy. To order, go to virginiatraditions.com.
On the way things used to be, shed a couple laughs and some memories, talked about the things we changed, some for good and some for bad. Then
you said goodbye. Okay, folks, March is Women's History Month. I love to hear dudes pay homage to the beings that make the world go round. Ha ha ha. So today we're giving you the Curtis Brown Hot Five Women's History Month edition. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, business owners, and chefs dish on their favorite. So Curtis, you missed it. You would have loved the music.
All right.
Eric Sermon, I'm Hot. Marvin Gaye. Yeah. So Curtis, the Hot Five. We do this. People come in the studio. They give us five of their favorites. So number five, this is your homage to women and food. Who's number five on your list?
Well, I don't have them really in order, but Julia.
No order.
Julia Child, of course. I mean, she was, I mean, you gotta say she's one of the most important chefs of any gender. She certainly,
I agree,
certainly wrote the book that a lot of people learn to cook with, you know.
Do you remember getting your first Julia Child's book or doing food from there?
I remember my granny had it and my mama had it, you know, so I'd look at it when we were cooking, yeah, and I still have the Art of French Cooking, yeah.
Oh, cooker, wow. Yeah. So, number five on Curtis's Women's History Month, it's Julia Child's. Number four.
Alice Waters,
yes.
All right. Well, I mean, you gotta say that she's again, any gender, but very important to the farm to table. I mean, she basically invented the thing, and
I don't know about invented.
Well,
but
she certainly promoted organic food. I mean, what are you talking about? Like 30 years ago, 35 years ago, she was doing this, you know, and she's still at it and still going strong and still a big proponent of community-based foods, you know.
I think without a doubt she definitely has given voice and to the whole organic farm to table movement.
All right,
so number four on Curtis's list is Miss Alice Waters. So who do you have number three?
Anna Lewis, which I know is a little played out, I guess you said before.
No, I did not say it was played out. I just said most chefs that come in here, they absolutely adore Edna Lewis. I definitely don't think it's played out. Hey.
Yeah, well, she has very readable and durable, useful recipes that are, you know, easy to pull off. And it's, you know, her books are just really.
What's your favorite Edna Lewis book?
You know, I don't know the names of these books.
You like Taste of Country Cooking?
I got that one. I like it, yeah.
One is called Flavors of
the South? Flavors?
Yeah, Flavors of the South.
Yeah.
So I think she has 5 books. And then she has, of course, with Scott Peacock.
Yeah.
A few books. But yeah, she is the grand dame of Southern food.
I think so.
And, oh, no, I was about to say she's from North Carolina, but no, she's from Virginia, Freetown.
She's north up there, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So number three is Mrs. Edna Lewis is on Curtis's Women's History Month. Hot five. He's paying homage to us, y'all. Number two on your list, Curtis.
Mama Dip. And she's written a lot of books, and she has a very, I don't know if you've been to a restaurant in Chapel Hill.
I have not.
North Carolina, but it's fantastic. And her books are great. You just have to, you know, where it says use a can of cream of celery soup, you have to kind of figure out your own way of doing it. But she's fantastic and a true Southerner, you know.
So let me ask you this. I think she's deceased now, or is she still living?
Yes, ma'am. She's gone.
She's deceased. I know I have one of her books. Set the paint the picture really quickly of Mama's Dips, because I hear everyone says it's really when you walk in, it's like the atmosphere, you just feel like you're kind of at home.
Yeah, that's true. And I want to say, though, I'm not actually sure if she's deceased. I don't want to say that for sure. I'm not 100% positive.
I'm not either.
Because my parents just stayed at her place like 2 weeks ago, and I think that my dad said she was there. But so she definitely ain't gone if she was working. But
so someone, if you're listening live now, tweet me and let me know if she's dead or alive.
Alive or dead, her restaurant has been there a long time, and it's in a college town in North Carolina, and you go in there, yeah, and it's, you know, it's the same waiter. It's been there for 20 years, and everybody's, you know, it's packed and loud, and the food's great, you know, food's just, and, you know, it's fried pork chops, you know, that's where I go, that's what I get when I go there is fried pork chops and, you know, smothered in gravy with peas and potatoes.
I haven't had fried pork chops in about 10 plus years.
Peas and potatoes, you know, that's it. Delicious.
So that's number two, Mama Dips.
Yes, ma'am.
And if you're listening, you want to know who Mama Dip is, I know she has at least one cookbook out. So that was number two, right?
Yeah.
So here it is. Number one, no particular order, but this is Curtis Brown's, who runs the Cardinal in the East Village of New York.
Number one is actually number one, and it's without a doubt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, without a doubt. The other ones are in no order, but number one is Eileen Johnson. That's my grandmother.
Oh.
And I have all of her little index cards. I got them.
Wow.
Got them for Christmas like 3 or 4 years ago from my mom. She put them all together for me, and she's
that's super cool.
She's passed on, and that is absolutely where I get 90% of the things I cook are straight from exactly how she cooked them. So,
did you grow up in the kitchen with her, watching her?
I absolutely did. Yeah.
Were you at a cook or a young person who was interested in food that was at the knee and just watching, and you learned to cook by watching, or were you actually assisting?
I was watching and assisting. You know, that was something that her and I did together, and I lived with her for a length of time. And you know, we get up every morning and make a big breakfast just for her and my granddad and me. And, you know, she'd make 20 pieces of bacon and a sausage and, you know, biscuits and gravy and fried eggs, everything in the cast iron skillet, you know, mm-hmm. just fantastic. You'd smell it. If you slept in, you'd smell it through the house before you woke up, and then big, big lunch, big dinner, you know, fried chicken in the pan, just amazing.
Yeah, see, you know, old school people, I'm sure, tell me if I'm wrong. Did your grandmother cook breakfast and then after breakfast she started cooking lunch?
Yeah.
And yeah.
She clean it up and start cooking lunch.
Yeah, that's that's the cook all day long.
And then she'd watch her stories after lunch and then she'd start cooking dinner. Yeah. Dinner is about 6:30.
And so. One last question, I'm very curious because when you say cast iron skillet, I think about my own family. My mother and my aunts have actually gotten into arguments about cast iron skillets because they've had them for so long. Did your grandmother pass along any of her skillets to you?
You know, yeah, not to me. I don't have them, but they went to her son and to her daughter. So my uncle and my mom still have a lot of her cookery. Yeah, and certainly her skillets are very important to them.
Cool. Curtis, thank you so much for coming to High Grease. You know,
thanks for having me.
Giving us the lowdown on North Carolina and the Cardinal. And folks who are listening and they're in New York City or visiting, what is the actual address to the Cardinal?
234 East 4th Street between Avenues A and B.
There you have it, folks. Thanks, Curtis. You got to come back on.
All righty.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can join me live every Monday at 3:30. But until then, always take the road less traveled. Sometimes I'm right, and I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. The butcher, the baker, the drummer, and thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.